Will you pray with me? Speak to us, O God, through your word, that we might open ourselves to know your truth, trust in it, that we might find bread in the desert. In Christ we pray. Amen. So how many of you know the story of the feeding of the 5,000? Ever heard of it? And before Andrew's children's message, how many of you knew the story of the feeding of the 4,000? Fewer, but still quite a few. The feeding of the 5,000 probably has appeared to you if you have ever attended a worship service in a church that preaches the lectionary through the lectionary series. But the feeding of the 4,000 series does not appear in the lectionary. The feeding of the 5,000 appears in all four of the Gospels, which is probably why it won the votes to get into the lectionary. And the 4,000 only appears in two of the Gospels, only in Matthew and Mark, but very similarly in those passages. And the stories are remarkably similar. So one of the questions that might come to you when you hear this story of the feeding of the 4,000 is, what's going on here? Isn't it just the same story being told two times? Why this particular emphasis? There are clear differences in the stories if you take a look at them side by side. First, the feeding of the 5,000 happens by the lakeside, and this one is up on the mountain. In the first, the listeners had just been there for the day. It had been a day trip. In the second, they had been there for 3 days with nothing to eat. In both, Jesus has compassion on the crowd. He literally, from the Greek in this story, does not want them to be weary in the way. You may remember that the way, that phrase, became identified in the early church with the path of discipleship in following Jesus. Jesus has been doing some pretty dramatic things in these two chapters in Matthew that precede this story. First, you get the first story of the feeding of the 5,000. I like the fact that this miracle of the feeding of the 4,000 kind of closes out a section of Jesus' healing miracles and provision to those who are on the outskirts of society, those outside the Jewish community. We ordinarily think of Matthew as writing to the Jewish community, but in this particular section of Matthew's gospel, Jesus is clearly interacting with the Gentile community. In the chapter immediately before those boundaries are being tested, we see this first story, this crowd, a Jewish crowd typical of Matthew's audience, and the 12 baskets which carry the broken pieces are kofinas, a basket that's typical of Jewish daily culture. In the second story, the one that in the text that Lori read, the 7 baskets which capture the broken pieces is a different kind of basket. More, instead of being a small kind of daily basket for holding things, it's more like a hamper, a large basket. The word in Greek is spouros, large enough to carry a person. The same word is used to describe the basket which is used in Acts, or is told, where the story is told in Acts, when Paul is lowered to the ground to escape one of the plots to kill him. He's moved in a spouros. So, lest you think that the first miracle was better since it had 12 baskets, and the second one was inferior because they only served 4,000 and 7 baskets left over, the 7 baskets were a lot bigger than those 12 baskets. But why do we need two different stories? And why don't the disciples expect that Jesus can provide bread again, particularly when he did it in the account of the gospel such a short time before? And just one chapter later, when we get to chapter 16, we read that when the disciples reached the other side, they had forgotten to bring any bread. They have this problem with bread. Jesus said to them in that time, maybe he wanted to see if Jesus would do this again and therefore cement their learning. But Jesus said to them, "You of little faith, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not perceive? Do you not remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many baskets you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many baskets you gathered?" In our Lenten readings conversation with Jesus, there has been a consistent theme this week in Jesus' provision of enough for our needs, even in troubling times. Give us this day our daily bread, we pray in our Lord's Prayer. And one can't help but think if you remember your Old Testament stories of manna in the desert as we encounter this wilderness miracle again, this desert miracle, as we move through these days of increasing need around us. Jesus knows his mission, but the disciples are still seeking and trying to understand it fully and to catch the vision. A family in my Girl Scout troop has a new son, the first grandson in the family. He was born with a metabolic liver disorder, and they were told at his birth that he would not survive more than a few days. A few days ago, he turned 4 months old. This family is no stranger to illness, with an older daughter who has sickle cell disease, and as I visit with them from time to time, I'm amazed at the way that the mom is able to trust God one day at a time for what she needs. Their family has lost their business because she can no longer work in it, as she carries now into 3 weeks of hospitalization for this son, juggling the 2 other girls in her family. It's truly a desert time for them. Yet over and over I've been struck by the depth of their faith as they take each day at a time, as they pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," and seek out the possibilities that lie beyond the visible. They're an inspiration and a hope to me. Jesus has great trust in his disciples. Jesus has great trust in us as his disciples. As Jesus trusts in us today to be his hands and feet in the world. In the feeding of the 5,000, you may remember that in John's telling of the gospel story, it is a young boy who offers up the loaves and fishes. In this story of the 4,000, Jesus asks the disciples, "How many loaves have you?" Jesus trusts them and trusts us that we have something to offer. And yet, through it all, it's Jesus who provides the miracle. Our intellect and our personal resources can never bring this kind of abundance alone, without the power of the Spirit to bring forth the gift. So the question that Jesus asks us today is, in the Conversations with Jesus series and in our scripture today, is how many loaves have you? And the answer that Jesus reminds us again and again is most likely more than we think we do. And yet we do need reminding of this, just like our little puppy needs to be reminded of the training, which I think is why we hear the repetition of this story in these 3 chapters, in 14, 15, and 16. There is no doubt that these are challenging times in our society, and in many of your personal lives, as well as the uncertainties of our economy threaten to overwhelm. What does Jesus have to say to us through this story in such a time as this? Jesus is reaching beyond the borders of his religious community, deep into the needs of the Gentile community, and the people are responding. People respond to this kind of a message of hope, of power, of hospitality when compassion is poured out, particularly in days when what has worked in the past is no longer working. Jesus asks, "How many loaves have you?" He challenges us to look closely at our circumstances, at the great resources that most of us enjoy, to take stock of those resources and to offer them forth, whatever they may be. And Jesus promises they will be multiplied. This grace of Jesus opens up room for new possibilities, for connecting, for praying together, for a message of service. Seven loaves, which parallel seven deacons named to serve in deacons. And it's rooted in prayer, in this blessing of this bread by Jesus. The story reminds us that we may trust God with all that we have and all that we are, and we will not be disappointed. But it is a story not just for us personally. The crowds will be satisfied through the power of God working through people more abundantly than we can ever ask or imagine. God can make a way where we can see no way. Friends, we have good news to share in this gospel story. May we embody the hope of this miracle, opening ourselves to share what we have and witness the transformation of those gifts, trusting that the God who fed the multitudes not once, but again and again, is active in our world today, challenging us to live this message of abundance and hope for all the world, near and